What sounds like a very interesting symposium is taking place at the University of the Western Cape later this month, looking at the role of precision medicine. Precision medicine involves tailor-making a treatment plan for a patient that takes into account their own individual genetic makeup, their lifestyle, and their environment. And some of the world's top scholars in this field will be joining this conversation and sharing their own experiences of utilizing precision medicine to improve patient outcomes. And looking through the program for this event, what caught my attention was a talk on the potential role of precision medicine in the treatment of tuberculosis. And seeing as today is World TB Day, I thought let's get some insight from one of the team working in this field who can tell us a little bit more about precision medicine itself and about how it might be utilized in the fight against TB. Joining me on the line is Dr. Erica Kupp, who is a researcher and lecturer in pharmaceutical chemistry at UWC and has a particular interest in drug-resistant tuberculosis. Erica, it's great to have you with us. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Pippa. Thank you. It's wonderful to chat to you today.
Thank you. Before we talk about precision medicine and TB, maybe let's start with just a couple of broad insights into where we are as a country in our fight against tuberculosis. Erica, my understanding is that TB remains a major public health concern, certainly globally, but particularly in this country, and I think even more particularly in this province. Not so. Why is it still such a big threat?
Well, there's actually a number of reasons for this. Many people with TB live in low and middle-income countries. In fact, about half of the people that have TB in the world live in only 8 countries, of which South Africa is unfortunately one.
Gosh.
The poor living conditions that are quite common in these lower-income countries increase the risk of developing TB. And then, of course, this goes with poor access to healthcare services,
yeah,
which leads to delay the treatment and diagnosis as well. And this, of course, then leads to increased transmission and then the development of drug-resistant TB. Now, this is the first reason. Of course, there's also stigma that goes with TB.
Yeah.
So people may be shunned by their communities for the fear of discrimination. So people often hide their TB symptoms and only access healthcare services quite late. Another contributing factor in South Africa, yeah, is co-infection with HIV. So people living with HIV that's not adequately managed have weakened immune systems, which mm-hmm. increase their risk of developing TB. And lastly, yeah, but not least, of course, is drug resistance. While we do have effective antibiotic treatments for TB, various forms of drug-resistant TB have emerged in recent years. So depending on the type and the number of drugs these strains are resistant to, we refer to them as multi-drug resistant or extensively drug resistant.
Mm-hmm.
And these forms of TB are very difficult to treat. They require longer treatment regimens and they're more expensive and they're more toxic, which then leads to reduced adherence and incomplete and inadequate treatment. And these factors altogether just contribute to a massive public health care challenge in managing the disease effectively.
Yeah. That, I mean, it's an awful spiral, isn't it? You need to take ever stronger drugs to deal with the drug resistance strains, but then those drugs come with worse side effects, so people don't like taking them and aren't compliant, and that in turn feeds into more drug resistance, doesn't it? You're always told it's so important to finish a course of antibiotics if you start it. If it's being discarded halfway through because the side effects are intolerable, you're just feeding the beast, aren't you?
Yes, no, absolutely.
Yeah. The interesting fact I came across in reading, which I'd not, I think, heard before, Erica, was that not everybody who is infected with this bacterium will get tuberculosis. I kind of knew that. I didn't know quite substantially how many people actually have been infected with TB without ever developing symptoms. It's quite a large percentage of us, isn't it?
It is actually quite a large percentage. So it's definitely true. You can be infected with Mycobacterium tuberculosis, which is the bacteria that causes TB, without ever getting TB or getting sick. So when a person has a good immune system and live a healthy life, they're unlikely to develop TB disease. The World Health Organization estimates that about a quarter of the world's population have been infected with Mycobacterium tuberculosis.
Sure.
So that is quite a few billion people we are talking about here.
Yeah.
But then most of them will not develop TB, and if they do not have active TB disease, they will also not transmit TB to other people, which
okay.
is a very good thing. But then certain people have a much higher risk of developing TB. So these would include people who are malnourished from mm-hmm. the poorer communities. People with diabetes have a higher chance of developing. People who use tobacco also. And then, of course, any condition that reduces the body's ability to fight infections like HIV or cancer therapy or anything into that line. So those people will have a much higher chance of actually developing active disease.
Okay. Thanks for explaining all of that. Now, Erica, I've heard several researchers today pointing to the fact that in South Africa, our TB mortality rate has actually increased, that the latest figures available from 2021 showed an upward turn for the first time in over a decade. Lots of speculation about why that is. A lot of people pointing to the impact of COVID-19 and lockdown in terms of people not getting access to diagnosis early, not getting access to treatment and to their medications. Is there more to it than that?
Well, unfortunately, we are seeing an upward trend. That is, we can't argue about that. That's worldwide, and also in South Africa, we're seeing upwards. So you mentioned the 2021 data. The World Health Organization, we usually refer to WHO, releases a global tuberculosis report towards the end of each year.
Okay.
So in last year, 2022, they released the data for 2021. So that is our most recent data that we can actually work with. And in that report, they state that about 10.6 million people fell ill with TB in 2021. And this is an increase of 4.5% from the 10.1 million people who contracted TB in 2020. So this is unfortunate. And then also the incidence rate for TB is also climbing by about 3.6% per year. And before 2020, we saw declines in the incidence of TB of about 2% per year. For the last two decades, we saw a gradual decrease, and then all of a sudden, most likely, in all probability, a result from the COVID pandemic, we started seeing the increases in the TB incidence and the number of people that actually get TB.
Mm. Which makes your work and research on finding new ways and better ways of fighting the disease all the more important. Now, Erica, let's circle back to where we started. I talked about precision medicine and its potential uses for tuberculosis. It's a very complex thing to try and drill down into layman's terms, but I'm going to ask you to try a little bit and tell us more about how the concept of precision medicine could help here.
Okay, so precision medicine, as you said initially, is where we use something very specific to the patient to try and work out the best treatment options for them. So usually we use their DNA, we use the environment, we use lifestyle and all of those things, plus big data in the background. We try and tailor make a package or a treatment or a prevention strategy for a specific person. So this is the standard definition of tailor-made medicine. So or precision medicine or personalized medicine. But when we take it to TB, we have to also look at the genetic makeup of the bacteria and the specific strain of bacteria that is actually infecting your patient. So if we have to use precision medicine in TB, we could look at the genetic makeup of the bacteria to try and determine exactly which antibiotics this bacteria will be sensitive to, so we can do drug susceptibility testing. And we can also then have a look at the DNA of the patient to look at something like metabolism, for example, if the patient will metabolize a drug fast or slow, and if we can increase the dose for the patient, or maybe we'll have to decrease it to ensure that they don't have all the toxic side effects of the treatment. So there are many possibilities. There's also the potential to use precision medicine like immunotherapy, for example, where you would design mostly biological but also other treatment options to activate the patient's immune system, so that you will then have to use less antibiotics, or you would enable your specific patient to then manage the TB better themselves.
It's fascinating. I mean, the possibilities, if you get this right, Erica, are huge. How advanced is this kind of research, particularly in the field of TB? I mean, are we still at the stage of playing around in laboratories, or are we actually putting this into practice in our healthcare system already?
There are some possibilities already looking, or it's possible. It is happening, but the cost, unfortunately, is very... It makes it very difficult. So something like the a drug sensitivity testing, for example, that I mentioned previously. In the settings that we live in, our lower and middle income countries, we have to use what we call phenotypic drug susceptibility testing, basically where we isolate the bacteria from a patient, we grow it up in a culture, and we expose it to various antibiotics, and we see which antibiotics kill the bacteria, and those that don't kill it, we know that
that's not going to work.
This strain will not be effective against it.
Yes.
But then this can take, an assay like that can take anything between 2 to 6 weeks. And if you have a patient and you want to start treatment of your patient, you want to know sooner rather than later if these drugs that you are prescribing will actually work.
Mm.
So in this case, we would love to go for genotypic testing, where we look at the DNA of the bacteria and we look at specific mutations to determine if my drug is going to be susceptible to various antimicrobacterial agents. And this goes very quickly. Fast results, we can do a large number of tests at the same time. But however, this type of testing requires expensive equipment and supplies and specialized labs. And importantly, uninterrupted electrical supply.
Oh, which is not something we can claim too easily. Yeah.
So this limits the implementation of something like that. So it is available, but just not feasible in our current setting. And then there's also amazing, weird and lovely stuff that we are doing in the labs, which are still many years to come. But then this is what this precision conference is all about.
It's
getting experts together from different backgrounds, different universities, bring them all together, share work, brainstorm in smaller sessions, create opportunities for collaboration, funding opportunities, all of those things to try and get the things that we are doing in the lab to implementation level in our South African setting. Mm.
Erica, one of our listeners asking an interesting question on email, whether anybody is researching South Africa's history of traditional herbal medicines and their potential application to TB. As far as you know, is anyone looking at that?
Yes. Now, I know that there are definitely people looking into that. At the University of the Western Cape, we've got quite an interest in natural products, and there are certainly a few of them. And I'm not going to give out any names or much detail, because that's not my field of expertise, but I do know that lots of very interesting research is happening in natural products and their application to you.
Thank you for that, and thank you, Francois, for that email. So just in closing, let me just repeat for those who might have come in late to the interview that my guest on the line is Dr. Erica Kapp, who is a researcher and lecturer in pharmaceutical chemistry at the University of the Western Cape. She's talking to us ahead of an upcoming conference that is happening there on precision medicine, and Erica's particular field is a keen interest in drug-resistant tuberculosis. So given that today is World TB Day, that's where we've been focusing the conversation. But Erica, TB is not the only subject of this conference. I mean, precision medicine has applications across, well, as many different fields of medicine as you can imagine, I would imagine.
No, absolutely. I mean, anything, there are so many possible uses and applications of precision medicine, all the way from finding the very best drug to target a specific patient's disease to repurposing drugs for a patient's disease. So you might have a look at their DNA, you might find that their specific enzyme or protein target which causes the disease is a little bit different than the population in America or Europe, where most of our clinical studies are based on. And you can do computer-based searches and drug modeling and find drugs which will work for your patient, which would not work for somebody else. So you would be able to help your patient with something completely new and out of the box by just looking at their DNA. Or drug metabolism, drug toxicity, for example. There are so many applications of this. And then, of course, host-targeted therapy, immunotherapy. It's the world is your oyster with this. It's an amazing emerging field of research, and there are just so many possibilities.
Erica, thanks. You've done such a good job of helping us to understand the reach of some of those possibilities. And I just want to share with you a WhatsApp that's come in from our listener, Linda, with a question and a comment. Linda says, I have had drug-resistant TB, MAC disease, Mycobacterium avian complex. Her question is, Dr. Erica, think that the latest drug-resistant TB drugs might work against that? I've had MAC for several years, and the drugs I'm taking are just not getting rid of it. It did once go away, but came back again 4 months later. I mean, is there overlap of the reach of the research, I guess, is the question, Erica?
There are a number of drugs which overlap for the treatment of these two diseases, but it's really going to depend on the specific strain that she has. There are a number of drugs that we are using in South Africa for Mycobacterium tuberculosis, which may assist, but it's going to be very difficult for me to give an opinion on whether we will be able to find something for that. It's a very difficult process to go through, and all the drugs that she has been taking has probably given her many side effects and lots of toxic issues. So it's a very difficult disease to have, especially if it's drug resistant. And she just has to continue to look for options, talk to her healthcare providers and see if they can't figure out new ways and new regimens of probably trying to treat this.
Good luck to you, Linda. Thank you for that message. Erica, thanks. It's been a fascinating conversation, and we really appreciate you making time to talk to us today. All the best, and hope you have a really fascinating conference at the end of the month.
Thank you, Pippa. We're looking forward to it.
Thank you. Dr. Erica Kapp on the line to us there, researcher and lecturer in pharmaceutical chemistry at the University of the Western Cape. They're going to be hosting this conference on precision medicine at the end of the month.